Well, I certainly ask for your prayers today as I try to share with you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I want to call your attention to just one verse today for a reading lesson, and that's found in the 7th verse of Revelation chapter 1. If you have your Bibles and want to read along with me in this verse, turn there, Revelation chapter 1. And my reading lesson today will be the 7th verse. Now this is in reference to Jesus. And it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." And I want to talk about the return of the Lord as I stand before you today. Here in this verse that I've read, there's a biblical, scriptural fact. All right, a fact here that he is coming. Behold, he cometh with clouds. If you look in the third chapter of 2 Peter, and I want to speak today about some of the things that the Bible tells us concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his second coming. We know that Jesus has already been here. He's been to the earth. He came here and he lived on the earth for around the space of 33 years, and he gave his life a ransom for our sins, and then he resurrected from the dead and he ascended back to heaven. But he's coming again. He's not coming like he came the first time. He's not coming here ever again to make a sacrifice for sin. He doesn't have to do that anymore. But he is coming again, and he's coming in all of his glory when he comes. And in the second in 2 Peter chapter 3, about verse 9 and 10, the Apostle Peter wrote about that, and he said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." Now God is not, God never fails on any of his promises. But in that particular verse, he was having reference to the promise of his coming. The Lord is not slack concerning the promise of his coming, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. That's why he hasn't yet come. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is, through his mercy, is extending time and giving opportunity to people to make preparation for that. But if you read there in the third chapter of 2 Peter, right after that statement was made that he's not slack concerning his promise, the Apostle Peter there again stated a fact. He said, "But the day of the Lord will come, even though he may tarry his coming, because he is long-suffering, because that he is merciful in extending time to people to get right, nevertheless, he will come. The day of the Lord will come." And here in the 7th verse of Revelation chapter 1, not only is this stated very emphatically and very definitely, the coming of the Lord is imminent. He is going to come. There's no question to that. He's going to come. And not only is that great fact made known here in the first chapter of Revelation, but also it's made known with great exclamation. Behold. You know, that word, when we find that word in the scriptures, it's intended to introduce something that is going to get our attention. Behold, not only is he definitely coming, but behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. I'm telling you, it won't be a secret thing. He's going to come in a way that everybody is going to see him. The Bible says those which pierced him are going to see him. Now, they've been dead for years, but they're going to see him. Every eye shall see him, not only those that are alive and remain at his coming, but every eye is going to see him. When the Lord comes, those that have already gone the way of all the earth, those who already rest in the graves, are going to see the coming of the Lord. Every eye is going to see him. Now, there are things that God has done throughout time that have just been phenomenal. There have been things that God has wrought by his great power that we have record of in the scriptures that have just been amazing for the eyes of people to behold. I can't even really comprehend what the parting of the Red Sea must have actually looked like. And some of the ways that God delivered people. What an amazing thing that it must have been to have been an eyewitness to what took place there in Babylon when Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were thrown into that furnace, and God brought them out of that furnace without even so much as the smell of smoke up on them. What an amazing thing that must have been for those who were eyewitnesses to that. And people have seen throughout time, there are so many more things that we could mention, but people have seen throughout times God do amazing things and work amazing works by his great power. But I tell you, I believe that the great grand finale of God's power is yet to come. The greatest event is yet to be seen, and that's going to be the coming of the Lord, because as I've mentioned here today, many of these things that we read about that have already taken place, you know, the parting of the Red Sea, not everybody saw that. We were not there to see that, and not everybody that lived saw that event, and there's many other events that God did that we did not see, but every eye will behold the coming of the Lord. I thought about in a very simple analogy. I thought about how this just, you know, we just passed the time of year not long ago where everybody shoots off the fireworks, and they shoot off the fireworks, and there at the end they begin to have what everybody calls the big grand finale. Well, of the things that God has done, his greatest, I believe, is yet to be seen. And we won't miss that one. None of us are going to miss that one. Every eye is going to see the coming of the Lord. Now, the Apostle Peter, he wrote about there again in the third chapter of 2 Peter, he wrote about some of the things that will take place when this happens. He spoke about the destruction that will come upon the world when the Lord comes. He's going to destroy this earth. And the Apostle Peter wrote about the fact that it's going to melt with a fervent heat. He said the earth and the works shall be burned up. And we read about how that the Lord Jesus in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, I believe it is, or 23rd or 24th chapter of Matthew, he talks about his coming, and he compares it to the days of Noah. I want you to think about this for a minute. We go back and we read in the book of Genesis, when God said there in the 6th chapter of Genesis, he said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." He had looked down upon how wicked that man had become, And the Bible says it grieved him at his heart. And it repented the Lord that he had even made man in the first place. And God brought judgment. He said, I'm going to destroy man from the face of the earth. And so he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, from the time that God said there was going to be a flood, there was a time that was given that was going to pass before that flood came, 120 years. And we read about what Jesus said. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating, drinking, marrying, and given in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And so here we have in the time in the days of Noah, there was a designated time that was going to pass, and then God was going to bring the flood. And yet the Bible says that they knew not, they just continued in their daily lives and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. It still came up on them very suddenly, and it still caught them without expecting it. And the Bible tells us that that's exactly the way that the coming of the Lord is going to be. He's going to come as a thief in the night. I'm convinced that what Jesus was teaching us there, that when the Lord comes back, that life is going to be continuing on just as it is right now. There are things that people are going to be doing from day to day, and then suddenly, he's going to come. And so the Apostle Peter said when he comes, he referenced the flood, how that the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. And he said that this world is reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men, and that God, he made a covenant with Noah and his sons that he would never again destroy the earth by water. And so this time, the Bible teaches us there in the third chapter of 2 Peter that he's going to destroy the world with fire. I believe that. I'm convinced that God's word is true and he will do exactly what he said that he will do. In the sixth chapter of Revelation, it's spoken about with the opening of the sixth seal. The sixth seal is opened and there's a great earthquake. And I believe there that essentially the same thing is being said that's said in 2 Peter chapter 3, where he talks about the elements melting with a fervent heat and the work being burnt up in Revelation chapter 6 with the opening of the sixth seal. It says there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell as a fig tree casting off her untimely figs. It talks about people crying to the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of the Lord. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The rocks and mountains won't help them. Even if the rocks and mountains did fall on them, it still would not hide them from the Lord, because he will know where everybody's at. He'll know where we stand with him spiritually when he comes. He will know everybody that's prepared, and he'll know everybody that's not prepared for his coming. But I want you to think about that great fact that the day of the Lord is going to come. Now Jesus said, of that day and of that hour knoweth no man. He said, only my Father knows that. The angels in heaven don't know. No man knows. Only my Father knows that day when he's going to come. We can certainly, I believe we can see signs. We can see the way that people live now. It seems like sin. Well, it seems like in our world today, it seems like what we read about in the days of Noah. The imagination of the thoughts of people's hearts are on evil. There's things that are happening that, people never thought would happen in the world that we live in today, and things just seem to keep getting worse and worse, and sin just seems to continue to abound in the lives of people, but only the Lord knows when he's coming. There's going to be a great noise because the trumpet is going to sound. Paul, in his writing in 1 Thessalonians, in the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. I'm telling you, the trumpet will sound one day, and it will sound loud and signal the coming of the Lord. Behold, the King is coming. He's coming. I'm telling you, he's coming to get his people and take us home to be with him. And he's coming to divide us from those who are not his. That's what Jesus spoke about in the 25th chapter of Matthew, when the Son of Man shall come in the clouds of heaven in all of his glory and all of his power, and gather before him all nations and divide them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He'll divide the saved from the lost. He'll divide those who are his children from those who are not his children. He will say unto those that are his children, those the sheep, those on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He will say unto those on the left hand, those that are termed as goats, those who are not his children, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And the only reason that anybody will ever hear that is because they did not make the right preparation. And he comes, and it's too late. Remember the parable there in the 25th chapter of Matthew of the 10 virgins, of the 5 that went to the wedding there and took the oil in their lamps, and the 5 that, and they were termed as those who were wise, and the other 5 were foolish because they went and they took no oil in their lamps, and the bridegroom came. And they tried to, get oil from those that had it. They said, give us the oil. And they said, no, we can't give you the oil. We've got oil only for ourselves. And when they went to get oil, he went in and he shut the door, and it was too late. Too late. I'm telling you, when people, when Noah and his family entered into that ark, and God shut that door, and the rain began to fall, and the fountains of the deep were broken up, it was too late to get inside. Nobody got in after God shut the door. And that's the same thing that's spoken about there in Matthew 25 with the parable of the 10 virgins. Once the door is shut, they begin to knock, but it was too late. Friends, I'm telling you, when the Lord Jesus Christ makes his ascension, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, it's going to be too late. Makes his descension, I should say. It's going to be too late. The doors of mercy will be closed. There'll be no more opportunities for people to be saved. And you know what? I believe that that's easily understood in the scriptures. The teachings on that are so plain. When he comes, folks, it's over. The opportunities are over. And so the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The graves are going to give up the dead. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He won't set foot on earth again. We'll meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I want to ask you something. I heard a song not long ago that moved my soul. It was about the Lord's return. It was about the sounding of the trumpet. It was about the Lord stepping out on a cloud. And the question was being asked in that good old song. And I want to put that before you today, and I want you to really think about this. If the trumpet sounds now, if the Lord steps out on the cloud to come in all of his power and all of his glory, if these things that the Bible tells us about, if that sixth seal is open and the sun becomes black as sackcloth of hair and the moon becomes as blood and the stars begin to fall and the earth begins to shake and fire is poured out upon this world for its destruction, are you ready to go? Boy, you ought to really think about that. You ought to give more earnest heed to that than anything in your life. Or what about this? What about if this is your day to die? What if this is your last day to live? It may be. Scott Parsley, he didn't know what day would be his last day, did he? Sister Ruth Skaggs, she didn't know what day would be her last day. Thank God they were ready for the journey. But we don't know. None of us, we don't know when that's going to come. We don't know if we'll live beyond this day or not. What about it? What if this is your final day? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Well, I can tell you this. I can't see your heart, but I can tell you this. If you've not been born again, if you've not had a real experience of salvation with the Lord, you're not ready. You're not ready. You're not prepared. Because the Bible tells us plainly and teaches us plainly that's the only true preparation. In the third chapter of John, in the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. You know, you can't just be religious. You can't just go to church. You can't just try to be a good person. Nicodemus was all of those things. Nicodemus was a very religious person and no doubt a very moral person, but he wasn't ready, and Jesus knew that. And he told him, you must be born again. You must have that spiritual experience where you repent of your sins and place your trust in the Lord and experience salvation. Experience the Holy Spirit of God letting you know that he has saved you. Listen, I want to tell you again today, lost friend, this is not between me and you. I'm just here today to bring the gospel to you. I'm here today to preach to you the things that God placed upon my heart. I'm here today to tell you that salvation is available only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you fail to take advantage of that and you fail to repent of your sins and place your trust in the Lord, you're going to die and split hell wide open. That's what I'm here to tell you. But you getting saved, it's not between me and you. It's not between you and this church. It's between you and the Lord. But if you don't have that, if you don't have it, I'm telling you, you are not ready. You're not prepared to meet the Lord. He's coming. Maybe the trumpet will sound today. Maybe not. We don't know. But we know that it will. We know that he will come. The day of the Lord will come. It will come. When it happens, think about it. As we get ready to sing, if he steps out on a cloud today, if the trumpet sounds today, if today is the day that the Father says, "Son, go get my children and bring them home and put an end to that temporal mess down there," if today is the day, are you ready to go? Are you ready? Let's stand and sing.
Number 245.